All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, week 17 edition of the show, as we are getting down to it now. Still waiting for the Bucks to win a football game, you know, throw one of those in maybe here or there. But either way, we're still here, and it's still a possibly big weekend. It's a weekend that nothing can be clinched on the Bucks end. It's a weekend where we should be getting ready for the real main event next weekend, but it's also a weekend where it could all come to an end if things go really wrong. And guess what? Lately, things have been going really wrong every single time the Tampa Bay Buccaneers set foot on a football field, unfortunately. And it continued last week in Charlotte with a game we were all pumped up for, all getting ready for, said, hey, this is the big one. Bucks lay an egg, and they lose 23-20, and a game we're going to talk a little bit about here as the next few minutes, I guess, go by, and then I want to look ahead to the Dolphins game. Obviously, it's Christmas week. I wanted to get a show in. There was a lot going on, literally Christmas yesterday, and doing some stuff with family, but I still wanted to record a show, so I'm doing it a day late here on Friday as I record, and we're going to get something up for you guys. And get ready, because we couldn't roll into this weekend's games naked, okay? We had to have something out there for you guys. And like I said, here's the scene right now for the actual mathematical scenarios of it. The Bucks and Panthers play next weekend. That should be a win-and-you're-in game in Week 18, essentially the NFC South Championship game. And I say should be because there is one scenario where it wouldn't be and where it would all come crashing down a week early, and that would be if the Bucks go down to South Florida this weekend and first of all lose the football game. They would have to lose to the Dolphins. And second of all, Carolina goes out there and they have them at home, but they upset the Seattle Seahawks, who right now are hanging on to the number one seed in the NFC. So Seattle's definitely playing for something. They're going to make the playoffs. In fact, all of the NFC playoff berths have been set except for the Bucks and Panthers. But Seattle could be the one seed if they keep winning and get a first-round bye and home field throughout. Or if they lose, they're going on the road wild card weekend. So a lot at stake for them, and I like Seattle's chances. Now, if Seattle does beat the Panthers, it would render the Bucks-Dolphins game meaningless. Of course, the games are at the same time, though, so we don't know. And either way, the way things have been going for the Buccaneers, I wouldn't leave anything to chance, and I would assume I have to win. Never mind that who the hell wants to lose again, even if you can win next week and be an 8-9 playoff team. Bucks just need to go out and do some good things. And they had a chance to really make their lives easier this past weekend and do that with a win over Carolina. It did not happen as the Bucks go out and lose 23-20. And so where I'm at right now as a Bucks fan, and I've been, just like you all over, I listen to sports talk radio, I still read the newspaper, maybe a lot of you don't, I read Twitter, online, articles, this, that, and the other. Everybody's really, really down on Todd Bowles, everybody's really, really down on the team, everybody's just really, really down in general. And I am not that way by nature. My nature is always to say, okay, what is possible and how do we make that possible thing happen? What is the best, maybe I should say it that way. My nature is, what is the best possible outcome from where we're at right now? Forget about how we got here. Forget about dwelling on the past, mistakes or whatever. What's the best possible outcome for how we got here and how we want to get to where we want to be? Okay. So even though every week we just get kicked in the package over and over and over as Bucks fans, take a deep breath, double over for a minute. Okay, now what? So that's where I'm at. But a lot of you guys aren't at that place. A lot of you guys have already checked out. A lot of you guys, I think the most exciting thing that could happen to a lot of the fan base would be to hear the news that the Glazers have fired Todd Bowles and the heads are rolling and it's a total clean out. People love that stuff. Fans love that stuff when things aren't going well. And it may come to that. Like I said, this thing has gone bad, but it hasn't gone totally bad yet. And it very well may in the next, 8 days. But as of right now, just my nature, just how I am, I'm like, okay, let's go beat the Dolphins. NFC South Championship game, Week 18, which would be pretty damn exciting, I think. So that, and even if they don't beat the Dolphins, that's still possible. But to my point, I'm starting to at least see the side, and I'm not saying I want to fire anybody right now. I'm starting to at least see the side of the people who are beating the war drums right now, and I'll tell you why. My main thing, and this is with anything in life, not just sports, but my main thing is what did we do that we could control? And did we do everything we could? Did we leave anything on the table? Did we leave any drops in the bucket? What did we do, or what did I do, to attain whatever this goal is, or whatever this life situation is, or whatever the thing is that I want to happen? What did I do? Because you can't control everything. Sometimes you're going to come up short in life or in sports. Sometimes the other guy, you know, he's getting paid too. They're professional. Sometimes you just come up a little short and they make one more play than you did, or you make a mistake, but you still tried your best and you still put yourself in the right position and it just didn't work out. That happens all the time in life, okay? And this is where I always talk about process over results. You're not going to win. Otherwise, everybody would win everything all the time. It'd be easy, you know, but that's not how it works. So, okay, I get that. But the reason I'm starting to get a little down on Todd Bowles is because the Buccaneers are not optimizing their chances to win football games. They have philosophically made a heel turn in the course of this season. And I don't dispute that there are circumstances that probably led to it. Todd Bowles didn't just sit there, or Josh Grizzard didn't just sit there and say, hey, we're humming. We're 6-2. We're firing the ball downfield. You know what? Let's stop trying to do that. Let's just try to be the Tony Dungy Bucks of the late 90s. Let's try and win games 13-10. Let's worry more about ball control and time of possession than actual points. And let's just be that team now. They didn't just sit there and just say, okay, we're going to do that. All right? Some circumstances dictated it. Lots of injuries at first to both the offensive line and the receiving core, although those have gotten better. At least the receiving core now has everybody back. The two guards missing on the offensive line, and the Bredesen injury is killing the Bucks. You know, they've already had to deal with, you know, the one backup guard all year long, and they figured out a way around it. But now, with Bredesen out, it's both guards. So that's one. And number two, I think this is an underrated part of it. And I'm not, I hate speculating. I never try to be a speculator when I did my radio show or now that I do my podcast. I don't want to speak for other people. I don't want to pretend I know things that I don't know. But Baker Mayfield is not himself. And I'm not making any excuses for him. He doesn't make any excuses, and I love that about him. But there's something not right about him physically that is preventing him from being the guy we all know and love. And I mean, he's trying his ass off. He's a tough guy. And like I said, I love him. If you look back, I mean, we all know there was the injury, like you actually saw it with your own two eyes in the Rams game that Sunday nighter with the shoulder and that play before the half where they tried to throw that ridiculous Hail Mary and all that. But even before that, something happened, okay? And it could be a variety of things. I'm not saying it's his shoulder. It could be oblique, whatever. I don't even know what it is. I'm not going to pretend to know what it is. But the Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield has one positive EPA game. EPA is estimated probability added. It's like this is the most basic stat of offensive or defensive success. He has one positive EPA game since the Bucs beat the 49ers way back in week 6 to go 5-1. One, okay? And they were humming before that. That Seattle game was amazing. And then starting with that Sunday nighter in Detroit, or was that? That was Monday night, I think. That Monday nighter in Detroit, excuse me. Starting with that game, everything has gone straight to hell. And even the next week when they beat the Saints, that was mainly because Anthony Nelson turned into their best offensive player, and they got that win there. And then since then, it was the bye week, and it's just been complete garbage. And then, of course, the Rams game, which was a couple weeks after that, was where he got, like, hurt. But I think something's been bothering him for a long time. And I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm not trying to say that's the only reason. But this isn't the Baker Mayfield we know. This is like a low point. He is bottoming out right now. And I'm not putting all the blame solely on his play because it's not. And like I said, through a lot of that time, they didn't have their full complement of receivers. And they're still dealing with offensive line injuries. But they do have the receivers back now. And I think the coaching staff is coaching scared around Baker Mayfield and coaching scared around the injuries they have had and continue to have. So that's one. Their offensive run rate has been at least 10 percentage points higher than expected, given the situation down a distance and all that, in four of their last six games, going back to the bye. They've just turned into a team that doesn't try to do all the things that made them successful. Because I say this over and over again. In the NFL, your job as an offense is not to win the time of possession battle. It's not to control the ball. It's not to do anything but aggressively and efficiently pursue yards and points at all times and try to rack up as many yards and points as possible. That's it. Okay? And I really get mad when coaches in the year 2025 don't understand that. Because I get, you know, back in the 90s, it was a different game. And, you know, even early 2000s or whatever. But that is not how things work now. And almost all coaches, even the defensive-minded ones, understand that. I think Todd Bowles and Josh Grizzard understand that. But they have decided, for whatever reasons they believe, and again, I'm not there. I don't know how badly Baker Mayfield feels or all these other things. They decide they can't do it that way. They're too scared it won't work out. Well, what's happened instead? The exact thing that they're scared of happens every week, okay? So I don't know what they're scared of anymore. I'd rather them try to run the offense the way they were running it before, and if they can't do it, okay. But what are you so afraid of? You've gone 1-6 in your last 7 games. That's the thing you should be afraid of. That the worst case scenario has happened and continues to unfold before our very eyes. And Todd Bowles goes out there. And I say Todd Bowles because even though Josh Grizzard calls the plays, I can't believe this wasn't like from the top. What you saw on Sunday against a Carolina team that isn't very good, and even on Sunday did not even play that well, an easily winnable game for the Bucs, was a complete abdication of responsibility by the Bucs to do what they needed to do. Basically, like I'm sitting here every week and I'm just looking around, and I know all the circumstances, but I'm like, can somebody please care as much as we seem to as fans? Can somebody please act like this matters as much as it supposedly does? I mean, this is the biggest game of the year on Sunday. This was the biggest game of the year on Sunday. And they had a pretty good opening drive, which was probably scripted, which is why it was probably good. And then they just shut it down. Didn't hear Mike Evans' name, Amika Buka. I'm hearing all this talk about Tet McMillan for the Panthers being the offensive rookie of the year. Go back to week 6 or week 5. That was all Amika Buka. All of it. And it's gone now. And they put that one graphic up, I think it was like in the third quarter, I can't remember, but it was like the late second, something middle of the game on Sunday, and it was like the side-by-side comparison with Amika Buka and Tet McMillan, and it was like Tet McMillan, you know, 12 targets, 8 catches, you know, 478 bazillion yards and a touchdown, whatever it was, and then Amika Buka, 1 target, 0 catches, and it made it look like Tet McMillan has like outperformed Abuka or something like that, and that's not what it is. Our offense has stopped using the tools it has. And if you switch Tet McMillan and Amika Buka and you put Abuka on the Panthers and McMillan on the Bucks, that graphic would have read the opposite. It would have had Abuka with a million touches and a million targets and yards and touchdowns and would have had McMillan with nothing. It's not like the Bucks are trying to do it. Oh, Abuka's just not making plays. Evans just isn't making plays. No, it's not that. They're not even trying. They're not even trying. And so that's where you lose me, because I don't believe we are leaving the bucket empty. I don't believe we are using every last tool at our disposal. I don't believe we're maximizing our chances of getting to the place that we want to be, whereas sometimes you do that and you still come up short and you can live with it. I can't live with this. So now I'm starting to see it the fan base's way a little bit. I'm not there yet, and we don't know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, what happens on Sunday, and obviously next week. I mean, if you're coming, when you're talking about Todd Bowles' job security, and you're talking about all this and that with Todd Bowles, we have to know where the conversation is starting from to know how it's going to end. So if it's starting from a place where after all this, even after as bad as it got, the Bucs still won the NFC South, well then okay, that's one place. But if it's starting from a worse place than that, there might be an issue here, and I've heard all the, look, I know everything everybody's saying about Liam Cohen. Oh my God, all the revisionist history is crazy right now. How could the Bucs be so stupid? You had the best young head coaching candidate in the league in the building and you let him walk. You should have fired Todd Bowles right then and there and taken Liam Cohen and promoted him to head coach. How could the Bucs not do that? Listen, this is not that simple, okay? To fire a head coach, and I know that Commanders lost the end of the postseason last season was frustrating, but to fire a head coach in the position that Todd Bowles and the Bucs were in at the end of last season which even though it wasn't where we wanted to be, like I said, they were coming from a place of winning a fourth straight division championship, losing a heartbreaker playoff game. It's not that easy to just say, okay, you know what? And nobody knew, like Liam Cohen, nobody knew anything at that point. And I love what Liam Cohen did last year was amazing as the offensive coordinator. They did at least go out there and make some sort of a commitment to him. And they said, hey, we'll make you the highest paid offensive coordinator. And I believe the highest paid coordinator in general in the National Football League. So it's not like the Bucs just sat there and were like, yeah, well, whatever, take him or leave him. But they were not prepared. And I understand this. They were not prepared to blow up their entire coaching staff at the thought of somebody leaving and fire the current head coach who hadn't, let's be completely honest, had not done enough to be fired as of the end of last season, and give the job to this guy who'd been the offensive coordinator for 1 year and done well, granted, but still not. And Greg Allman was talking about this on his Twitter feed. Like, what people are looking back and saying they wanted the Bucs to do, and some of you wanted them to do it at the time, but a lot of more people are being revisionist now and looking back and saying, oh, how could they not do that? You know, it's like they weren't in position to do that at that time. Plus, what's going on in Jacksonville is different than here. I think, you know, with Cohen, I mean, he wanted more control than he would have had here with Jason Light. It was basically a fresh start thing in Jacksonville, and it's worked out well for them so far. We'll see how they do. I'm not sure how good they really are, but they might end up being a Super Bowl team. They're certainly a playoff team. They've got that clinched, and they might end up going that far. They might lose in the first round of the playoffs. I have no idea. Either way, we weren't there. We just weren't in that spot, let alone that even if Liam Cohen was the head coach right now, you don't know if the injuries the Bucs had, the losses they sustained, Baker Mayfield, who hasn't actually missed any time but is definitely not himself. You know, that all could still be true, and it could be very limiting. Philosophically, would it be a little bit different what we see out of the Bucs than what we're seeing now? Yeah, it probably would be, and that part sticks in my craw. Because I'm tired of this. I'm tired. Use your weapons. Push the ball down the field. When they work the middle of the field, 10 to 15-yard intermediate routes, when they push it, when they use Mike Evans, when they use Amika Abuka, complement it with Chris Godwin, they're a pretty dangerous offense. But they don't scare anybody right now with their approach to things, and nobody gives a damn about your time of possession when you score 20 freaking points. Because you notice I haven't mentioned the defense once in this show. We're 17 minutes in, and everybody bitches about the defense every week, and our defense isn't very good. But last week, 23 points, that's fine. If the Bucs defense is going to give up 23 points every time out, that should be plenty, okay? And it's ridiculous. And the one thing I'll get on the defense for that really killed them, and this is the most demoralizing thing in the whole world, and this is on both the offense and defense, is there anything more demoralizing than your team gets the ball? Well, I can't remember what the exact time was. Like, let's say it was a minute 50 seconds left. Your team gets the ball right before half. You got a minute 50, you got a couple timeouts, whatever it is, and you're like, all right, here we go. Two-minute drill, let's get some points before the half. Bam, we're going to nail this. And then we get the ball coming out, we can really do some damage here. And then not only does your offense not get the points, which is bad enough, but they go three and out so quickly that then the other team gets the ball. So now you're double demoralized, but in your head you're like, okay, well, hell, at least let's just hold them. Or maybe a field goal. And then not only do they not get the points, not only do they not get the stop, they don't even hold them to a field goal, they give up a touchdown the other way. I mean, that was a breaking point in that game. And I know everybody's getting on Todd Bowles for his blitz call, and they left Jamel Dean. I mean, Jamel Dean needs to make a play there. It's not like, I mean, he basically let happen the only singular thing you could not have happen. And he's played really well all year on that play. He looked lost. They beat us over the top. They get a touchdown before the half when we were supposed to get something instead. So it was the double whammy there. And that one was really demoralizing. And yet the Bucs still had a chance. I mean, they had the ball in their hands with a chance to tie or take the lead in the final minute of the game, which normally, you know, once upon a time, way back a month and a half ago, you would have said is great. Now with our offense, it's almost a certain loss. And that's what happened. Mayfield threw the pick. And I don't want to hear about Mike Evans' turn. There was absolutely nothing on that play. Mike Evans did what any reasonable person would do and assume that either Mayfield was going to scramble or throw it away, not just put up a ball for grabs, even if Evans had cut the different way. That was an insanely bad throw. And we turned it over. Already close. I mean, it would have been tough in that those conditions weren't great, but McLaughlin can make a field goal from there, and if they get a few more yards, he definitely can make it and at least tie the game. So that's where we're at. And it's going to be tough this week. Listen, the Dolphins aren't a good team. They obviously benched Tua last week, and they started Quinn Ewers, who did okay. in their game. I mean, not that that wasn't a good game for the Dolphins last week, but yours isn't atrocious. But either way, there are some numbers in this game that worry me, and some of these are courtesy of Dr. Bob. If you go on Twitter, he's a numbers guy, does some gambling stuff, but always gives a lot of, like, real in the weed stuff, the stuff that I like as far as numbers that get inside of a matchup. And he's got some for this Bucks-Dolphins matchup. First of all, the Dolphins, and none of these are good, by the way. Let me preface that just to get you ready. The Dolphins blitz at the fourth highest rate of the 32 teams in the NFL. Baker Mayfield, yards per attempt versus blitz, is only 81% of his yards per attempt versus a standard pass rush. If you're wondering where that ranks, that is 32, the worst in the league. So the Bucs are not good against blitzes. Baker Mayfield is not good against blitzes, and we're going up against a team that has the fourth highest blitz rate in the NFL, so that kind of doesn't bode well. Now, obviously, the coaches know these things too, and they can watch film, and they can make adjustments, and hopefully our offense does that, but it's just something to keep an eye on. On the other side of the ball, the Dolphins have the fifth highest play action rate in all the NFL. The Bucs are 29th of 32 defenses against play action, as far as EPA per play allowed against play action. So it's another thing to watch. Achane, the running back, I don't think he'll hurt. I mean, the Bucs have been actually doing pretty okay against the run. But out of the backfield, we've seen this before with Bijan Robinson and all that. Although the Bucs didn't do that bad against him in the Thursday night game a couple weeks back. But Achane, fifth in the NFL among running backs in yards per route run. This is just passing receptions from a running back. Bucs are 30th of 32 NFL teams in a running back EPA allowed on passing plays. So just a couple little red flags. The biggest of all, though, and he doesn't specify what the subset is, but this is a gambling subset. Whatever it is, the Dolphins apply to a situation on Sunday that historically is 40-6-1, 46-1 against the spread, and that's a subset of a greater situation all time that is 77-25-2 against the spread. And the spread is, what is it, 5.5 or 6, so the Bucs could still win without covering it, but whatever the situation is that the Bucs and Dolphins are in, especially the Dolphins in particular, I think it just comes from coming off some recent poor play. Teams do well. The Dolphins are in a spot where they're at home, coming off a bad loss, back-to-back home games, whatever it is. It's not a great spot for the Bucs, and it is a good for the Dolphins. So be worried. Never mind, it doesn't even matter who the opponent is, and I'm not sure the Bucs can win a football game right now. They certainly can't win one right now, trying to do it the way they've been trying to do it. They pulled one off barely against Arizona, who's terrible, that 20-17. And that was that game. What happened there? They got a couple of big turnovers, right? Short of that, they can't win a football game the way they're doing things right now. Bucks are undefeated when Mayfield does not throw an interception, and they're like 1-7 when he does. Or it might be that they're like 7-1 maybe when he throws one. Whatever it is, their record is 7-8, and it's like, I think they're 7-1 when Baker does not have a pick, and then they're 0-7 when he does. So that one right there, and that's there's a lot more to it than that, obviously, but that's something to keep an eye on. Certainly the pick he threw on Sunday is what cost him the football game, and probably the same thing with Atlanta the week before. But anyway, I just want to clear my throat a little bit. It's the day after Christmas. I want to give you guys something to get you ready for Sunday, 1 p.m. in Miami. Then we'll get back next week. Here's the situation again. If the Bucs and Panthers both, either the Bucs win or the Panthers lose or both, whatever happens. If the Bucs and Panthers are playing their game next week for the NFC South, which there's a decent chance that happens, here's the situation for scheduling for next week. They do not schedule Week 18 in the NFL until the week before. It's the only week they don't schedule. That's why on your schedules, especially if you have my fridge schedule, you see like January 3rd/4th. They have two Saturday slots. There's 16 games. They have two Saturday slots and then Sunday night football. There is no Thursday night football and there is no Monday night football for week 18. So they want to put meaningful games in big spots. If the Bucs and Panthers are playing the NFC South Championship game in Tampa next Sunday, that will definitely be either one of the two Saturday games or the Sunday night game. No question. I don't know which one it'll be. There aren't that many games in Week 18 that have a lot on the line right now, or look to have a lot on the line, and the Bucks-Panthers would be the only win and you're in, most likely, depending on what happens in some other Sunday games, but it's pretty good odds that Bucks-Panthers, if it is win and you're in, would be the only one of the 16 that week that is, in which case it's guaranteed to be either Sunday night or one of the two Saturday slots. I doubt it'll be Sunday at 1 p.m., but we'll have to wait and see on that. And of course, if the Bucks get themselves eliminated this weekend, then kiss everybody's ass goodbye, and we'll do the postmortem on the show even before week 18. I hope we're not doing that next week. But either way, we will be here. I may even be, I'm not sure yet, my wife's family is from South Florida. We go to visit them around Christmas. I may go to the game on Sunday. I've only gone to Bucks road games a couple times. I've been to Jacksonville, and I've been to Atlanta, and I have been to Dolphins games in South Florida, but never a Bucks-Dolphins game. So I'm going to try, and I'll post pictures and stuff if we go. Got to represent down there and try and just keep this thing going. Look, there's no reason right now to spit the bit. There's only possibly two games left, and we're in the very fortunate position, at least, that we're playing meaningful games in December. That's all you ask from your football team. So let's just go with that right now, okay? I hope everybody had a great holiday. I hope everybody had, you know, whatever it is you hope for, I hope it all happened, and spend time with family and friends and all that stuff. Now it's time to turn our sights back to football, all right? So get your mind right. Let's tune out all the negativity. Bucks Dolphins, Sunday, 1 p.m., that's where we're at. Thank you to the Joes. JoeBucksFan.com, the best place anywhere. TV, internet, radio for Bucks coverage. It's a privilege, and I appreciate them giving me the platform to get in front of all of you. Thanks to you for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Get your holiday hangover all nice and rejuvenated, whatever you got to do, and get ready for Sunday at 1. And wherever you are to watch the game or go or whatever, be safe. Have fun. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night. And go Bucks.